Okay, if you can turn to Matthew 5, we're going to look at just one of the Beatitudes. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Let's go and start by reading Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So let's look first at hungering and thirsting. Jesus here talks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hunger and thirst being those needs of ours, most basic. It's also where our wants and our needs intercept. We both need water and food, but God's also made it enjoyable to us to drink water, to quench our thirst, and to eat when we're hungry, to have our appetite satisfied. It's not purely need and not enjoyment. It's not like we're having to pull a tooth that's good for us, but just something that we have to endure. But physical hunger for us is both good and needful. To eat food is both enjoyable and life-giving. Likewise, it is with righteousness. To hunger for righteousness is to hunger after what God wants, not just a desire to be like some standard that God is holding out apart from himself, but to be but to hunger after what God is, or to hunger after who God is, himself. Everyone in the world has a conscience and has a hungering for righteousness in some sense. A person's whole moral compass cries out that we need righteousness and justice. It is only then our sin and rebellion that disconnects that from its real source, which is God himself. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness in three different ways. Three different ways or places in the world, in our relationships with others, and in ourselves. First, in the world. This is our moral being, knowing that there is true justice and acting like there is true justice and longing for it when there's not justice given. Both the believer and the unbeliever has that baked into them by God. And it's a blessing. A blessing from God when we have a government that gives out approximate justice, but complete justice can only come from God at the end of time. We also can hunger and thirst for righteousness in our relationships with others. with our relationships with coworkers, family members, church members, and friends, because those relationships are just shot through with sin. We have our pride flaring up and talking with family members, wanting to be vindicated with others before coworkers, and with coworkers, like, not truly thinking about what they need or what's good for them, not having the right kind of care for them, a true care like we should. Also, we can just say things hastily without watching our tongues. This gives us a longing for righteousness, a longing that we would not hurt others and not be hurtful ourselves. So then we long for heaven, not to be hurt anymore, and also to not be a hurt ourselves, to not have our pride flare up, and so we see that we can have a hunger and thirst for righteousness in the world and in our relationships with others, and also in ourselves. Our flesh will flare up and demand its own way in our interactions with others, and also just in our own thoughts and desires, our motivations. We long to be free from a wandering eye, a wandering eye that would set its affections on things other than God. We also long to be free from this sinful flesh that just wants to satisfy its own gluttonous desires to take and take. We also long to be free from our dull mind that that flits just here and there and can't focus on the things of God like it wants, or can't focus well on one thing at a time. But in heaven, this all will be made new. We'll have pure thoughts and desires. Our affections will then be single-minded to love God, and that that when my mind wanders, if our mind does wander in heaven, it will be thinking back to God in thankfulness to Him, to only be thinking of the things of God, and we will then be able to have our heart go out to God completely and be filled with a full sight of His love, and experience it fully in ways that we only have in small, half-hearted glances here. There we'll also have a new mind to be able to think and meditate and love and serve God with our whole mind, heart, body, and strength. So then, what if I don't hunger? What if I look inside of myself and I find if I find no hunger for righteousness, or something very, very small? We have the Romans 7 example of our spirit lusting against our flesh, and our flesh lusting against our spirit. But what if I find that not my flesh, but it seems like the spirit side doesn't have any desire for righteousness, or if I can just not detect any at all? In that case, we should come to Christ afresh and talk to ourselves, and to rest only in His righteousness, because He was the one who perfectly hungered after righteousness. To rest in His righteousness. He was always about His Father's business, when we would so often rather be only about our own business and have no thought of what God wants. Jesus also had compassion on the crowds. He always did. even after a marathon day and night, taking care of healing those in the crowd, then going up on the mountain, then coming down on the mountain, down from the mountain to the disciples in the boat, having little faith there, and then taking them to the shore, and then being greeted by crowds again the next day. Even in all that, Jesus always had compassion on them. Jesus also perfectly denied temptation throughout his life. He had that perfect hunger for righteousness. When it's an extreme physical hunger and thirst in his temptation in the wilderness, in his extremity, being tempted directly by the devil, he still resisted the devil. Also in his, just in the day-to-day fatigues of life, he resisted sin perfectly. So when we do not discern any desire for righteousness in ourselves, and that troubles us, we should come to Christ anew, rest our soul on his righteous doings, and pray to God for the heart change that we so need to reorient my desires and give me hungering and thirsting for his righteousness, that I might then live to him.